This is Paradise by John Clemmer. Glad you're with me for another edition of Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Good to have you back. Honored to be your host and producer. I want to ask you something. Do you remember? Let's see. Do you remember? Hold up. Do you remember? What was I getting ready to ask you? What did I want you to remember? Well, actually, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're going to focus on this hour. Going to focus on memory, and specifically as it has to do with aging. That's right. Aging and our memory. And I'm going to be testing you here. Going to be asking you some questions, and it has to do with memory, questions that have to do with memory and things like that. And you just, you know, have that thinking cap on. If you need to, go ahead and get that blood circulating again. Maybe go ahead and do some push-ups or do some brief walking around the office, something to get that blood really stirred up so that brain but get that blood flow and that oxygen flow that it needs to perform at its best. Yeah. So you can do well on this quiz, this pop quiz. I'm telling you what, Web MD brings us some great quizzes. And here's another one. First question I want to ask you is a true-false question. Most adults can't remember anything that happened before they were 3 years old. Is that true or false? Here's the statement again. Most adults can't remember anything that happened before they were 3 years old. Is that true or false? Here you go. The answer is true. Most adults can't remember anything that happened before they were 3 years old. You might recall one or two events before you were four, but not much before you were three. Children begin to identify objects around them, and these are called semantic memories, by 10 to 12 months. They're beginning to identify objects that are around them by 10 to 12 months. They remember things that happened earlier in time. These are called episodic memories. By 20 to 24 months, take them up to 2 years of age. They remember things that happened earlier in time by 20 to 24 months. You may not be able to form memories solid enough to survive into adulthood until you can think about what happened in words. Yeah. You're identifying objects, and so you're seeing objects, but you don't have a lot of words to associate with those objects. And so that would make it more difficult to remember what was going on in your life at the time that you were basically just identifying objects. You're remembering, you know, things that happened earlier in time. That begins to happen by 20 to 24 months, almost 2 years of age. It may be difficult, and you know, you're still not really talking well by that age. And so it's at that point where we're really beginning to have a strong connection with words that we can associate with our experiences that empowers us to begin to remember events in our lives. And so, generally speaking, it'll be after age three that most adults will be, remembering what took place in their lives, what took place after the age of three. All right, how about this? This is going to be a multiple choice question, and here's the question. Which of the following helps turn short-term memories into long-term memories? Let me give you the question again, and then I'm going to give you your options. Which of the following helps turn short-term memories into long-term memories? Sleep, aging, digestion, or none of the above? Sleep, aging, digestion, or none of the above? Here's the thing. The human sleep cycle is crucial to making memories. Some of you probably thought about the many things you heard me say about sleep and sleep cycles and memory in times past. So I'm sure a lot of us would have gotten that one right. The human sleep cycle is crucial to making memories. If something important happens to you during the day, your brain strengthens your thoughts and feelings about the event overnight while you rest. Do you find that interesting? That your brain will strengthen not only your thoughts about the event, but your feelings about the event as well. And I know that might sound a little too much, but think about how often we can think back on an incident that occurred in our lives. And when we're thinking back on that incident, we also recall the feelings, the emotions we experienced when that happened. In fact, sometimes we can find ourselves reliving the experience and not just recalling the thoughts that went through our heads, but feeling the feelings again. So our brain strengthening our thoughts and feelings about something that occurred during the day while we're asleep, at rest, at night. Okay, here's our next one. This is also a multiple choice. And here it is. The statement is, a short-term memory is likely to become a long-term memory if it has a link to sensory information, such as smells, sounds, etc., current or historic events, your other long-term memories, or all of the above. Here that is again. A short-term memory is likely to become a long-term memory if it has a link to sensory information, and again, that has to do with smells or sounds, etc., current or historic events, your other long-term events, or all of the above. Here's the thing. Details stored in the mind's databanks can be sorted in three categories: short-term, long-term, which is also considered remote, and recent or working memory. Short-term, long-term, recent. A short-term memory must have some kind of impact in order for us to store that short-term memory. The more ties there are between that memory and your bank of long-term memories, the easier it will be for you to recall it. So, all of those, all of the above, can help a short-term memory become a long-term memory. All right, another multiple choice. A long-term memory fades because, and you're going to help us understand why a long-term memory fades. A long-term memory fades because it's no longer important. It's replaced by other memories. Or C, we can't find the link to retrieve the memory. Okay, here we go again. A long-term memory fades because it's no longer important. It's replaced by other memories. We can't find the link to retrieve the memory. All right, here we go. Once data has been restored in the long-term memory, it's there forever. However, you can't always call it up because the link or the association has faded. Short-term memories vanish quickly, sometimes after only a few seconds. recent or working memories are often replaced by new information. But when it comes to long-term memory, it's there forever. I've said this before. Let me mention this again. A lot of people are really counting on their ability to either say they don't remember something when they really do remember it, or to actually have forgotten it because they have trained themselves to put something out of their memories, some ungodly things that they do, put it out of their memory so that they don't have to deal with a guilty conscience and so that they can continue to do what they do, to do the wrong things that they do without feeling weighed down by the burden of guilt because they know they keep doing wrong after wrong upon wrong. And take pleasure in being able to say, I don't recall that. That long-term memory is there forever. Is there a chance? You know, we have people today who are talking about how they want to be able to delve into the brains of people, get their memories and upload their memories onto computers so that those memories are forever stored. Now you have human beings trying to do that. God obviously has already made it such that our long-term memories are there forever. My guess is the short-term memories are there too, and we just haven't figured out how to find them, how to locate them. Those short-term memories are probably somewhere in long-term memory, and the process has happened so quickly, we just haven't figured it out yet. But wouldn't it be interesting if our Creator, on the day that He's judging us, does the very thing that a lot of people, a lot of men and women on this earth now are saying they want to do? Our Creator, who is responsible for our existence, who created us, pulls out every memory we have and judges us for every, based on every memory, which tells the whole story of our lives. Interesting, huh? Okay, how about this one? What's more likely to help you remember to pick up the dry cleaning after work? Focusing on it and committing it to memory early in the day? Or seeing a dry cleaning receipt in your wallet? This is a two-part optional question. What's more likely to help you remember to pick up the dry cleaning after work? Focusing on it and committing it to memory early in the day? Or seeing a dry cleaning receipt in your wallet? Remembering to do something like run an errand or take daily medication is called prospective memory. Following through on this type of task is tied more to a trigger, like seeing a dry cleaning receipt or driving past a pharmacy, than to having the task committed to memory. Yes. How many of you use triggers to help you remember to do something? I know, you know, I've shared with you in times past that I really get into writing down my things to do list. And that really works for me. Things to do. That I have noticed over time that requires a whole lot less brain power, a whole lot less mental energy, and as a result, less stress than trying to remember, just put it into my memory bank. I need to do this, 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 and this. But sometimes, and I'm saying sometimes, I do it all through the year. I just don't rely on this strategy as often as I rely on, or as much as I rely on, writing things down. But there are times when I definitely put something on my desk or on the nightstand. I put something someplace where I know I will see it, knowing that when I see that object, it is going to remind me, oh yeah, I need to do such and such today. And it works. It definitely works. It works for me. apparently it works for other folks too, because they're saying that's the way it works. Prospective memory. Now, another question. Which of the following can cause memory problems? Dehydration, stress, infections, or all of the above? Which of the following can cause memory problems? Dehydration, stress, infections, or all of the above? Would you believe, ladies and gentlemen, all of the above? Now, I'm going to tell you what helped me with that one. I knew that dehydration could cause memory problems. I knew that stress could cause memory problems. Infections, I was thinking about other parts of the body, but I wasn't really thinking about the brain. The brain can have infections too, but just based on the fact that I knew those first two could cause problems, I went with all of the above. And that's the correct answer, all of the above. Total trouble with total recall can come from many physical and mental conditions not related to aging, like dehydration, infections, and stress. Other causes, what would you say? We mentioned dehydration, infections, stress. These cause some problems with memory. What else do you suppose could cause problems with memory? How about medications, substance abuse, poor nutrition, depression, anxiety? How about this one? Thyroid imbalance. Yes, thyroid imbalance can cause memory problems. Okay, here's our next one. How are you doing so far? Are you at least at 70%? How about 60%? Okay, here's our next one. Is this true or false? Everyone will have some memory loss as they get older. Everyone will have some memory loss as they get older. Is that true or false? I know it's tempting to say true, isn't it? I imagine it's tempting to say false, right? Here we go. That is false. Memory trouble does come with age, but not everyone has it. And that's the key. The statement was everyone will have some memory loss as they get older. And I was thinking about some sharp older people I've met. Some sharp older people I've never met, but I've watched them on TV. I mean sharp, sharp, sharp. No, not everyone will have memory loss as they get older. People who are more active, both mentally and physically, tend to have a better working memory than people who don't move often or don't do much to challenge their minds. Okay. Get this one now. Get this one. I want you to feel good about how this is going. All right, so here we go. Here's this. This is a true false, 50-50. But think it through, though. Don't just guess. Think about this for a minute. A good social life can keep your mind sharp as you age. A good social life can keep your mind sharp as you age. Is that true or is that false? And the answer is the big T, true. Studies show that older people who stay socially active or live with someone also have better mental function. I think that's a good thing, sure enough. Better mental function. You know, we've been talking about the importance of good support systems, good social networks, which include family, off and on for some years now. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that at least 85% of us got that one right. I told you I want us to feel good about how this is going. Okay. And because I want us to feel really good about how that's going, I'm going to take a break at this point. Yeah, I'm going to take us to a break so that you can just regroup, relax, let your minds calm down. Let your blood pressure come on down. Get you some water. You're going to do better on this next section. You will. You'll do better. We got to do better. We can do well with this. Don't get keyed up. Don't get tense. Don't get stressed. We're going to be all right. So we're going to continue this quiz about our memory in just a few.